All right. Wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Fill us with your Spirit this morning, Lord. Deliver us from evil. Lord, help us be faithful to you, Lord. Help us have a vision, Lord, of your kingdom. And Lord, the folly of this world. Again, we just thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. This song we just sang, "The People of the Living God, I have sought the world around. Paths of sin and sorrow trod, peace and comfort nowhere found. Now to you my spirit turns a fugitive unblessed. Brethren, where your altar burns, oh, receive me into rest." Then the last verse says, stanzas, "Tell me not of gain and loss, ease, enjoyment, pomp, and power. Welcome, poverty and cross, shame, reproach, affliction's hour. Follow me, I know thy voice. Jesus, Lord, thy steps I see. Now I take thy yoke by choice. Light thy burden now to me." Jesus said, "Come after me and follow me. Take up your cross." Said that his yoke was easy and his burden light. We see the suffering that he went through. Let's turn in Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 3, I'm going to read out of the Septuagint this morning here. "But in comparison to all men, his form was lacking in honor. He was a man in suffering and knew how to bear sickness. His face was turned away, and he was dishonored and not esteemed. He bears our sins and suffers for us. Yet we esteemed him to be in pain. Yet we considered him to be in pain, suffering, and ill treatment. But he was wounded because of our lawlessness and became sick because of our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his bruise we are healed." What I want to bring out this morning is that he was lacking in honor. He was a man in suffering, and he knew how to bear sickness. His face was turned away, and he was dishonored and not esteemed. And King James says he was despised and rejected. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world, and the world knew him not. It says that if they've done these things to the Master, how much shall they do them unto us? This morning I want to talk about the way of a Christian. The way of a disciple of the Lord. And I just want to read a few verses and talk about what it means to be associated with Christ. This verse, this last stanza in this song that we just sing, "Tell me not of gain and loss. Tell me not of gain and loss. Ease, enjoyment, pomp, and power. The people of the living God, is who he's talking about. And he's singing, I found something precious. I've sought the world around. And now I found the people of the living God. Don't tell me about gain and loss. Don't tell me about profit and what I can get out of this world or what it might cost me to follow Jesus. I don't care about those things. I found something precious. I found something that all the pain and suffering and sorrow that this world can throw at me has no effect on me. Tell me not of gain and loss. Ease, enjoyment, pomp and power. Welcome, poverty and cross. Shame, reproach, affliction's hour. That's Christ. That's what He did. He came as a king. He came, the creator of all things. The Maker. And He laid it all down and became poor. He laid it all down and became nothing. And when someone has found the treasure that is Him, all the things in this world fade to nothing. Let's turn into Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, by faith Moses, after he had gotten some wisdom and he began to see, whenever he began to understand, when he matured, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here, Moses was in line to become the son of the most powerful man in the world. All he would have had to do, I think this daughter of Pharaoh was probably one of his favorites, and they had groomed Moses to maybe even take over being the Pharaoh. But whenever he came to the time where he was faced with making a decision about who he was going to serve, whether he was going to be a king, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, to be a slave with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of this world for a season. This says sin. When we think of sin, we think, oh, just whipping it up and having a good time. That's not what the sin that he's talking about here. It's just talking about the pleasures that this world can offer for a season. He chose to lay it all down and suffer affliction than to choose what this world had and what this world was offering. A lot of times when we hear the word sin, we think of doing something really wrong and really bad. We think of the black sins. Those sins that are self-destructive. That's not what he was talking about here. It's just the pleasure of this world. Remember this world, the lust of the sin, or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Moses could have had it all. He could have been on top of the world as it stood then. But he chose rather to be a slave than to love the pleasures that this world offers. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He would rather be despised than be a part of the people of God. Be reproached. Be mocked. He saw that as greater riches than all that this world has to offer. You know, we have the world right at our fingertips. We have the world right at our fingertips. We can do things today in this country and in this world that we live in that kings couldn't do 100 years ago. It's all right at our fingertips. Moses couldn't do half, maybe 25% of what we could do today. They didn't have the comforts that we do today. We're living in the most dangerous time in the world, I think. Because the most dangerous thing in this world is for you to find a comfortable place and just live it out. That'll put you to sleep faster than anything in the world. I think it was Justin Martyr that said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It's whenever we are putting into practice and becoming like Jesus that the world can't stand us. And that whenever those things begin to happen, it just makes the church grow and prosper. Because people see that there's something worth living for. But today, now, and all through history, whenever the church begins to prosper, she begins to die. Whenever she gets comfortable, whenever she's content with what everything else the world has, there's nothing to be attracted to. We're just a substandard version. And that's the most dangerous thing that there is to a Christian. Just contentment to be happy in this world. Tell me not of gain and loss. Ease, enjoyment, pomp and power. Welcome poverty and cross. That's what brings us to Christ. That's what brings us to Him. The false Christianity that tells that if you serve Jesus, He'll just bless you. He'll do good to you. He'll bring you everything you need and fix up your life, and your life will just get into order, and it'll just be, that is as anti-Christ as it can get. Christ came into this world and was despised and rejected, hated, because He esteemed what this world had to offer as nothing. Antichrist makes you content in this world. Many churches teach about prosperity. You know, I'm just talking about the church, the work in India there a little bit this week. And I've preached there. And we talked about who Christ is. Christ is accepted in India, just like He is all over the world. But He's accepted as another God that can bring you blessings and do good for you. There they have, in a lot of the houses, they'll have a little doll or a little statue hanging somewhere in the room or in the house. And that's to keep the bad things away
to bring blessings. They've got their cars painted up underneath the pumpkin on the big trucks. There'll be a big scary demon on the bottom of them. And you see all these pictures in the front of the trucks. They got a face painted on them. And it's to scare away all the bad things that could happen to you. You know what they're wanting? They're wanting a God that'll just take care of them. And a God that'll make them prosper. A God that'll do good things for them. And they choose out the gods that'll bring the best blessings for them. And they serve them. Why do most people serve Jesus? Or say that they serve Jesus? It's because He'll bring good things to their life. He'll bring healing to their homes. He'll bring good things into their lives. He'll help them establish a good future. That everything can be nice and happy and comfortable. That's why people serve Jesus. Because they think that He will do good for them. That is as antichrist as it gets. That is as deceiving as it gets. Christ came into this world and was despised and rejected. He knew how to suffer sickness. He knew how to suffer and weep and mourn. He felt rejection and hardship because this world is not His home. This world hated Him. They didn't want anything to do with Him. This world's about prosperity, goodness, happiness, everything going right. Just waiting to hit that good lick that'll set you up. That's what people are looking for in this world. Just a just right time to where you get above and get comfortable and get accepted. And you get above all the real strife of just having to live. You're just waiting for that time that everything just starts going good. They spend their whole life struggling, fighting, working hard, trying just to get over that little plateau where you can kind of take it easy. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, every time I see that in the Bible, I see judgment right on the doorstep. And that judgment is a mercy of God. Hopefully to shake us back into reality. I see us planning out our lives, our future, our hopes and our dreams. Trying to make a good life for ourselves. Do the things I want to do. Get what I want out of life. I'm going to tell you this life ain't about you. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to find your life? You want eternal life? You want a life that'll live forever? Lose it. Lay it down. All my hopes and dreams and wishes at His feet in ashes lay. That's where you find life. What do you want out of life? What kind of goals do you have planned? Nice happy family? Nice little house with a white picket fence? Everything just in order? Just living comfortably? Loving to go to work every day? Having everything we need? Kind of liking your neighbors liking you. What else would anybody else in the world want? That's all the world wants. But just to say, Lord, here's my life. Take it all away. Take it all away. Let Him say, "Here I am, Lord." Or say, "Here I am, Lord." And watch everything that you've worked for all your life fall right in front of your face. Let everything that you've loved, let everyone that you've loved reject you that loves this world. And watch it all come crumbling right in front of you. And say, I will praise Him when all your dreams at His feet in ashes lay. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are as the offscouring of all things unto this day. Nothing. Worse than nothing. The offscouring, the scum of the earth. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, to whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. You want to find life? You got to know what it is to die. Being conformable unto His death. The fellowship of His suffering. We spend our whole lives trying to make ourselves more comfortable. Ease, comfort, enjoyment. That's the way of death. But you take death and suffering. Being conformable unto death.
and that's Christ. To the world, we have the savor of death. They see the things of Christ, the lowly, the despised, the rejected, and they smell death. But to the people of the living God, they see life there. Whenever they hear of rejection and suffering, instead of getting all down about it, the fire starts burning. And they start wait a minute, there's something there. Just being conformable to the Christ. Drawing near to Him. In Romans chapter 8. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Will those things separate us from Christ? No. They'll strengthen us in Him. Will those things take the love of Christ away from us? No. That is how we get to Him. That is how what brings us nearer to Him. The world despises those things. But look at those things and embrace them. This is what brings me to Christ. This is what He went through. This is what I want to be because I want to be like Him. We kind of get the idea that we want everything going well for us. And that it just works out when it goes smooth. But that is our enemy. That is our enemy. That's what will separate us from the love of Christ. Because that's not Christ. Christ is in these things. All the world wants ease and comfort, joy. All the world wants a life that goes real smooth. That you can just take it easy. And you just lay back in your easy chair and go right to sleep. Comfortably. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famines? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? No. Those will bring us to Him. We look at these things all wrong. We look at those things as being bad in this world. Because that's the way the world looks at them like that. Put some hardship in your life and you'll find strength. You'll find you get stronger. Suffering brings real joy. You got to get past the veneer, the gilded coating.
We're looking for real gold that takes fire to get purified. The refining fire of God. Welcome. Welcome poverty and loss. Welcome suffering and pain. Can we welcome that? Or are we just waiting as quick as we can to get through it so we can get back to life again? What a blessing that there's more than just what this world offers. What a blessing that there's more to life than just taking it easy, eating and drinking and being merry in this world. That what this world offers, that I can get a hold of it and just grasp it with much gusto or much pleasure. And I can just take a hold of it and enjoy it. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. People of the living God are just willing to walk right down the alley of life, just like a sheep going to the slaughter. Just walk right through it. If you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, they just herd them all into an alley. They don't know what really is ahead of them. And they just walk right in to be slaughtered. Just like a sheep being pushed into it. You become a Christian to die. You become a Christian to lose your life in this world. Not to see what you can gain. Not to see how high in the ladder you can climb. You become a Christian to be slaughtered. And that's the highest honor. That is being a testimony and a witness. That is being the light. Christ came and was slaughtered. His disciples came and they walked in His steps. And they died as a witness to this world that this world holds nothing to them. You want to put the world with all of their power and strength and bombs? You want to put the fear of God in them? You count your life as nothing. You count your life as nothing. If they can't touch you, if they can't hurt you, because you're already dead. When you lose your life, you have no fear of what man can do to you, because you fear a holy God. That makes people tremble. When their threats mean nothing. Read about some of the martyrs that were put in prison. You can't hurt me. Now I'm alone with God. Put me in the solitary confinement. That just gives me time to be alone. You can't hurt me. Put chains on me. I'm free. Take my life. I'm going to be with Jesus. Take everything I have. Doesn't mean a thing to me. Find me. What can you do to me? You can't take away Christ. Because that only brings me closer to Him. If that's where my heart is. If that's where my heart is. You start taking things away. The bank account starts going that way. We start getting anxious. We start getting worried. That's where your heart is. And they can hurt you. They can't take our freedom away. Because it's not in a book of laws. It's not about freedom to do whatever I want. It's being freed from this world and the slavery and the bondages of being accepted, of being comfortable, of being successful. Those things bring us into slavery. Those things are putting chains on us. Keeping everybody in love with me. Keeping everybody liking me. Instead of losing our life and walking in the path of our Savior, being despised and rejected. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what we're called to do. To follow in His steps. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whenever we love God with all our heart, mind, body and soul. Whenever we've determined to follow our Christ and do whatever He wants us to do, and we become to be like Him, we choose to be like Him, our family will say we're crazy. He came to bring a sword, not peace. Whenever we determine to be good and kind to all men. And you just always do the best you can. Being helpful. Don't go along with everything everyone else is doing. Warn them. Just being as simply good as you can be. The world can't stand that. Jesus taught us Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the light of the world. That's what being light is about. Esteeming as nothing what the world esteems as greatness. Rejoicing in what the world despises. God and Satan are on two complete different spectrums. This world is 180 degrees off from God. Exactly 180 degrees off from God. What's right to God is wrong with the world. And what's wrong with the world is right with God. What the world loves, God hates. And what God hates, the world loves. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Why do we have any respect for it at all? This world and everything in it will be consumed by our holy God, by our Christ, who when He came into it, they killed. He is no fool that'll lose everything he has. To obtain that treasure. The Christ. Welcome. Poverty. And cross. Shame. Reproach. Affliction's hour. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Follow me. I know Thy voice. Jesus, Lord, Thy steps I see. Now I take Thy yoke by choice. Light now thy burden to me. You see the way? It's opposite of the way of the world. It's a way of suffering and affliction. Cling to the cross. Cling to those things that separate us from the world and teach us the love of Christ. We follow Him. He's become our Lord. That's what He went through. No one listened to Him. They thought he was, his mother even said he was mad, he was beside himself. His brethren thought he was beside himself.
He didn't put any stock in what the world had to offer, religiously or physically. He lost his life. That's what it means to lose our lives. It's not just dying one time. There's a lot of people would die for Jesus. He's looking for people who will live dead for Him. He's looking for people who will live the life that He lived. Welcome. Welcome, poverty and cross. Don't tell me what I can get out of this life. Don't tell me what I'm going to miss in this life. I've chosen to follow Christ. Everyone that follows Him chooses to. Sometimes I want to get to having a pity party about what I'm missing or what I don't have or what. And then I remember, I made a choice to follow Christ, and I'm not going back on that. I want Him whatever comes, though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore. I've got my goal on things above. That's our only, only hope. You cannot serve God in this world. You cannot serve God in things. Let's lay all those things aside that so easily beset us and run the race that's set before us. Patiently enduring whatever Satan has to throw at us. They can't separate us. If we'll let it, it'll only bring us closer. Unless that's what we really love. He that will find his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake will find it. It's amazing. How this world despises the Christ. And it's amazing how blurred the line gets. Just pray that the Lord will help us make that line clear. That the light would shine. That we would be His witnesses, even unto the death, and even unto suffering. That's when we're shining. That's when the light shines. And that's what we're called to do, to walk in His steps. When He suffered, you know, whenever, sometimes when people say something or they get us wrong or we get wronged, we want to complain about it. We don't like it when somebody does us wrong. Jesus reviled them not. When he was reviled, he kept his mouth shut. When wrong things came his way, he didn't blame the person who did it. He blessed them. You know, when someone does us wrong, they're giving us an opportunity to be like Jesus. Whether they're in the church or without. When our mindset is on me and how smooth life can go, we get all upset about things like that. But if we'd turn around and see those, what the world calls a curse, as a blessing, then His yoke gets easy and His burden light. Those are the good things for us. Those are God doing good things. All things work together for good. We look at that as, most people look at that as, God's just trying to really help me out. And we see the bad is good, and the good is bad. God is trying for us, He's trying to take those things away from us that are a problem to us, that are hindering us from finding Christ. He's trying to get rid of those things so that we can know the suffering that's in Christ, so that we can know the death and be conformable to His death, so that we can be like Him. May the Lord add His blessings. May we strive to be like Him, to lose our lives instead of finding them. That's the biggest danger we face, is finding your life on this earth. And it is on the right hand and it's on the left hand. It's under you and it's above you. It's right in front of you. It's right all around you. Like I said, this prosperous time we live in is the most dangerous there ever has been. Because it's the way to life that ends in death. Father, we come before You. We ask that You'd help us, Lord, to guard ourselves against what this world is trying to do to shelter us, to make us feel comfortable, to give us rest and peace in this wicked world. Help us, Lord, I pray, to rise above it, to go ready to die, to go ready to suffer shame, reproach, whatever it takes. Help us just to be, Lord, what You want us to be. Go about doing good, being faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you want to add to that or share? Thank you.
hear the message of the cross being preached. And just had to think about this man that me and Harvey talked with last night, that he thought that he is free. He's been married, he divorced, and he had plans to get remarried. And he just tried to persuade us as he left that he's free to do it. But there was misery written all over his face. It was just, I think my last words to him was that, "You're not free like you think you are." And just created a burden for me to just tell him that. I think Harvey told him just not to do it because he's in bondage. It is a blessing just to see some real freedom and be able to live it. Thank you for the message.
Praise the Lord.
I just this week realized how comfortable we have it here in the United States. Just everything is at our fingertips. Like you said, stores are open 24 hours a day. Anytime we want anything, we can go get it, pretty much. But living in a mud hut with a thatched roof doesn't cure covetousness. I saw that too.
Amen.
There's people over there that just any way they can get money, they get it. Once they've got some, they want more. Take advantage of anybody they can to get it. It's just but there's good. I mean. Good people there too, but just being, I don't know, just, I guess living Christian life is the only answer no matter where you're at, you know.
Used to be called son of the Pharaoh. It just came to my mind that that's what it means to be born again. It's not a spiritual experience or a mystical thing that happens. It's just refusing to be a son of this world, choosing a different father.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Having the opportunity right in front of you and just laying it down. Thank the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll think we're planning to be at our Aurora tonight, have a fellowship supper there in the park in Aurora. So, just ask somebody how to get there. I think it's right on
Church Street.
Just off Church Street there. And pray for Fabio. There's a new brother in Germany. I haven't heard how it went, but he went out preaching last night. Went to Cologne, or yesterday, where we'd gone and told him this would be a great place to go preaching. And so he went out there last night. So he's just seems to be a real blessing. Just understands what we're doing. And he sent me a message and he said, I just heard the song, "There Are Two Ways." He said, "Beautiful."
So, I mean, he's all excited about that. So, pray for him. Chris asked for your prayers. He's just really struggling. His father even called and said one day he'll go out partying and the next night he wants to be with us. He just didn't know what to do. His dad. So just pray for him. The Lord would just, he said, we told him there's power to be delivered from that. What it is that's keeping him, I don't know. But he recognized the problem. So just pray for the Lord's mercy upon him. All right, anyone else have anything you want to share? Well, God bless you. Have a good day.